Welcome to the latest edition of K-Rock Football's Coaches Catch-Up. Here's your host, Tom King.
Season 2019, when you talk perfect storms when it comes to injuries, Queenscliff got hit by it and hit by it hard. They used 46 players in the ones, and 2020 was a year that they were hoping there would be a bit of a renewal down in the red, white and blue. That didn't happen 2020, but 2021 dawns, and of course Steve Clarke is again in charge. He first was in charge back in 2000, then he went now to stint at St Albans and a stint at Leopold, and he's been back at the Cooters for a handful of years, and he's been good enough to join us in the K-Rock studios. Hello, Otis.
G'day, Kingy. Thanks for having us.
Good to talk. I feel like we've been talking footy, you and I, for a heck of a long time.
Been a long time.
2019. You would love to have been able to put it in the rearview mirror a lot quicker than you had the chance to, because you haven't played for, obviously, now 18 months. But you look at those numbers back in 2019, and do you shake your head at the amount of luck you didn't have that year?
Oh, it was really different, mate. Like, it's hard to explain. It sort of, towards the end of it, was... it was laughable. You know, you'd be telling guys, unfortunately, they're out this week through form or whatever, making way. And this actually happened. And then I looked over and seen someone limping off with a hamstring. And I had to go back to the bloke I just told that he was out and say, you know that conversation we had? Forget it. You're back in. Look, it was just, it's hard to explain.
Yeah. You enter this season, obviously, having had a break. How much are the people of Queenscliff wanting their football club back in action?
Yeah, look, that's been really good. You can just see the general excitement of the guys. Like, coming into the weekend, having a hit out against Leopold, just to match him. Even myself, you know, like, you go through your pre-season and you're getting back into it, and you're excited about getting back into it, and then potentially you level out, but it just goes to another level when they're actually going and playing footy, and you think back how long it's been before they've been able to do that. There's a lot of blokes pretty happy on Saturday morning.
Yep. You've been involved in Ballerine footy for a heck of a long time, Otis, going back to, obviously, your dad was a star through the 70s in early Ballerine days, and obviously you making your debut in the 80s and going on to coach. You look at the competition. Have you seen the Ballerine ever more even than what it's going to be in 2021?
Nah, not at all. Like, that's a... the great thing about the comp, I suppose, that you've got the 10 teams, so you play each other twice. You've got the town rivalry, just no families that know families from opposition for years and years. And it's just generally, you don't know. You look at the draw, and going back before I left, I reckon you could sort of always pick the top five or top six, and then you'd have the bottom four. So you could almost pick the draw and go, oh, it's going to be hard through this stint, easy through this stint, but you just can't do that now.
Mm. It's going to be a cracking comp. You've got a tough... We'll look at your fixture very, very shortly. But you've been pretty quiet in the player movement stakes. It's not many ins, but you've got one quality in that everybody's excited about, and that's Luke Delizio, who's got some VFL experience behind him. Tell us about what Luke's brought to the table.
Yeah, look, Luke Delizio, he's been terrific. So he comes to us from St Bernard, and he's been at Richmond and Essendon on their development. So... he's only a young fella, but just going to be a really good leader. But he's just a real class person. Like, he's just a really humble lad that's fitted in really, really well. And he had his first run on the weekend, and he's just really cool headed, makes good decisions, and he's really enjoying his time. So he'll be great for us.
What's the link? What got him to Queenscliff?
Pete Caddy actually went to uni, or used to work with his dad, and he moved down to Ocean Grove. So he was actually at Bowen Heads had been speaking to him, so we just got hold of him at the right time. I think Pete, his dad rang Pete and just said, my young bloke's down there, and it went rolling from there. So we jumped on it pretty quick, and he was happy with the connection and what we're doing. So yeah, it's been good.
Like Drysdale, over the journey over the last few years, Queenscliff has been lucky enough to have a good relationship with St Mary's, and Charlie Travers is going to come down and have a kick with you guys. What are you expecting out of Charlie?
Look, Charlie's been quite good. I wasn't really sure what to expect from Charlie. He's been playing cricket down there for the last couple of years, and then decided he wanted to have a run. He's coming off a bit of an injury, so he hasn't played footy for a few years, but the match gym that we've been doing the last month... he looks in quite good nick, so I think he'll press for a position, and the word of mouth is that he can certainly play, and he's probably been underrated a little bit. So he should be pressing for senior selection and be good for us.
Yep. Maxie Annandale, Queenscliff Junior, who aligned with the GFL club in Newtown and Chilwell, but has been at the Falcons, I think at the Falcons again this year as a 19-year-old?
Yeah, Maxie's down at Falcons. So he's was with us and went into Newtown for a couple of years with the 19s, and he's come back this year. So he's still at the Falcons. He's in really good nick. He's done a lot of work over the summer. So I would imagine that he's been a bit stiff over the last 3 or 4 years with injuries. He seems to be hits a lot of brick walls. So if he can get his body right, he's certainly in good nick in regards to not playing matches.
Yep.
So if he can keep his body right, I would assume that he'll get a good crack at it, hopefully at Falcons level, and we'll see him in the break.
Your young fella as well, Jai's down there as well. And I'm guessing you talk about the breaks with the NAB League this year. I think they're only playing 12 home and away games. There's every chance you're going to see Jai and Max and guys like that. You know, other clubs are going to see their guys, you know, for half a dozen, 7 or 8 games potentially throughout the year, depending on selection.
Yeah, well, Jai's under 17, so he's still bottom, but he's not in the
top 8 squad. Yep.
Yeah, so he's in the 17s. Well, I think they play a couple of games before him in our round 1 and 2. So, and then Lockie Kidd, who's down the Falcons, he's in the under-19s Falcons as well. So both Maxie and Lockie are still eligible for our under-19s,
yep,
but both would press for senior selection. So, yeah, so that should be good.
With Jai, are you a parent first or a coach first when you treat his football? So the decision is going to be, do you play, you know, he's played senior footy, you exposed him in 2019. Is he just, yeah, he's a senior footballer now, or do you have to, you know, weigh that up when he is available, how you use him?
No, I think he's, it's certainly difficult. Well, I go through that with Billy as well. So Billy's come up to, he obviously played in 2019 as well, and he's come up to open age now. And so both of them, I've always been able to separate. So I've coached them before, obviously in juniors coming up. So it's not like the first time I've actually had them, but I would always look at them as a coach first and foremost. So they wouldn't want any separate treatment or anything like that.
Yep.
If anything, they get it harder, to be honest. But we've probably been able to, we've been able to chat over the journey and make sure we know where we sit with that. So, you know, you give them fatherly advice as a dad, but when they're talking their footy, we've been able to separate that quite easy. So that's been pretty good.
On your outs, Mitchie Buttress and Fridge Connolly have gone back to Leopold, which I don't think is a surprise. They're going back there to probably take leadership roles in their seconds and play out their careers there.
Yeah. So both those boys committed to 3 years, and it was a tough decision for them to go back. But both those boys had originally committed for 3 years, and then the break in the COVID probably lent them towards going back. Like, Fridge is pretty keen on coaching at some point, so he's been away, which freshens him up to go back rather than play there for a long time and then take over. So it'll, yep, give him a good opportunity for that. And Buttsy's really, really keen on his leadership, where that will take him. And he's got a good role at Leopold in regards to that. So there's plenty of opportunity for him to go and do that, which made sense.
Yep. Michael Randoni, been a really talented ruckman, obviously came through the Falcons, spent some time at Werribee. You won't have him, but you're confident. You and I have spoken, and you suggested that maybe there was a key position role coming for him now anyway. So you probably had contingencies in place for your ruck position anyway, and with your ruck stocks.
Yeah, so we'll certainly miss picks around the club and what he brings. He was great with that. We did look at him in 2019 playing at centre-half back and playing deep forward. So rather than throwing him in the ruck, we wanted him to learn a few different skills rather than him do the one thing all the time. So Alex Snowden came to the club a few years ago, and he's probably body was failing him a little bit the last couple of years, but he's got himself in ripping nick at the moment, and we were really happy he went up against Westie on the weekend, and Westie's a star.
Yep.
And Snowy actually handled himself really well in regards to what we were after. So he's moving around the ground really well, and then there's another couple of guys there that can play in the ruck. Braden Warren's back. He didn't play in 2019 away, so he was back the year before we used him to chop out in the ruck. So we've got quite a few options there to be able to do that. And it's just the way we set up, depending on who we've got in there.
Yep. One that's snuck under the radar in terms of career finish, and I think he likes it that way because that's how he played his footy. He was pretty unobtrusive with the way he went about it, but he was an absolute star, and that's Tom Lim, probably one of the finest BFL careers we've seen. You won't have him, and he's probably quite happy to slink off into the sunset and you know, just be a fan and, you know, be there on a Saturday afternoon watching with a tin in hand.
Yeah, well, you're probably quite right there with Tommy. I mean, you always get a bit nervous, I suppose, when you say that's it and then you come back and want to play again. So I think Tommy could probably see the potential that we had in the last couple of years from 2018, expecting that 2019, we expected to probably accelerate a little bit, weren't expecting the injury. So he's probably gone from a year that was going to be exciting to one that's he's had to labour through because he's had to carry a lot of load, and we struggled through it. So he was terrific then. But I suppose the year off, he was umming and ahhing about playing in 2020, and I think he'd come round to definitely having that last crack at it. But over the COVID, he's had another kid, so he's got another addition to the family now, and probably realises how much time he's got on his hands now that he's not around the footy. He's found golf.
And I was going to say, he's taken up golf with some success too, I believe.
So he's called time. Yep.
You lose Tom Lim, but talk to us about somebody that's maybe stood out. You got to pre-season last year and going, oh yeah, I'm not sure about this bloke. I know he can play a bit, but you know, where's he at with his footy? Is there anybody that stood out over the last 3 or 4 months and said, you know, come round one against Amos, you know, it's going to be hard not to pick him in the 22?
Yeah, I think there's a few of them. Like, it's been a little bit different this year because we've had the gap. So generally, year after year, you'll see guys come along and you might say, look, he might be right in a couple of years. Because we've had the gap, I haven't really looked at it like that. Like, I generally go home after each training session and pick a team. That's just the way I keep track of how they're going, what they're doing. So I'd say if we're going to play this weekend, then this is what the squad might look like. But to be honest with you, I'm having a lot of trouble doing that at the moment. I reckon there's 30 blokes. Dead honest, there'd be 30 blokes that could actually roll into different roles. So we've got a lot of versatility. So we're going to be able to throw a few different combinations at clubs, but it's a matter of just getting that stability and being able to have a couple of tricks up our sleeves when it comes. So that's what we're working through at the moment.
Your fixture's really interesting. Your first month, you've got four of your first five at home. But in that first five, you've got three of the finalists from 2019, including Barwon Heads. You're open with Geelong Ammos, and then you play one game in 7 weeks at home, from the start of May to the end of June, and then you come home with a bit of a rush where you play four of your last six at home. How did usually it's you go home, away, but it seems that draws all over the shop.
Yeah, got no idea how that happens, mate. I suppose used to be always, you know, whoever you played in round one, you'd play in round 10, but I suppose a lot of the fixtures that they have now with the different rounds, and they ask clubs to pick what they want to do and put in requests, so it just gets thrown around a little bit. But I'm not sure, you know, you might cop a couple away, but I'm not sure how that's all worked out.
You got four in a row away.
Yeah. I think potentially the club might, because in 2019 and 18, the ground got pretty cut up through the middle of the year, so potentially through the...
Well, that's going to happen when the water just all settles in the middle and you're shaped like a bowl.
Well, actually, the ground's in the best nick I've ever seen it at the moment, so I think they've done a little bit of work with the drainage over the time, so I think it's more that if we were going to go away to... and then we have the long lunch in the middle of the year where they ask for an away game at that time, so I think it's all just panned out like that.
Yep. So, a challenging draw to start, so you get a good sense of where you are. Is 2021 it for Steve Clark?
We've spoken about the next 2 years, so I generally don't, as you know, I just don't. It's the last thing I'm thinking of at the moment because I just don't think I just never done it, and I don't think it's fair to anyone when someone's guessing where they're going to go or not. Like right now, I've signed for this year with the option of next year. Yep. So we've done that at the during 2020 when we sat down to work out, looking at our list, looking at where we're at and pushing the club forward, what direction it was going to go. So that's what we decided to do there. So
okay, so 2 full years would actually get you to 200 games as coach of Queenscliff.
Yeah, I haven't even looked at that, to be honest, mate. It was more...
Oh, that's just my statistical mind ticking over. And I've been tracking your numbers for a while, and you know that too.
Yeah.
But no, you're on 164, and yeah, 2 times 18 with my basic math tells me that's 36, and 164 plus 36 equals 200.
Yeah, I honestly...
That'd be nice.
It would be nice, but I haven't... I've sort of never looked at that. Like, even leaving when I left the GFL, if I hadn't hung around... But you just don't do it for that.
Yeah.
Like if the time was right, I've always said, really from a coaching point of view, I've never coached for the sake of coaching. And if you know whether you've got the group or you haven't got the group, look, I've never wanted a coach to say I was a coach. Yeah. And do you know what I mean? So if it's a good feel and it's right for the club, I've always coached for the club I've been at.
Yeah.
So if it's a good feel or there's someone better or there's a better way forward or however that's going to work, like... Hopefully, with a bit of luck, we'll be able to get a succession plan in place for where we're at now, because there's some really good young kids. We're going to be quite young, and if they can stick around and build something pretty strong together, it'll be a pretty exciting job to have over the next few years, I would have thought.
Because your juniors have been punched above their weight, haven't they? Your 15s and your 17s, you've won premierships, you've been in Division 1 when, you know, people would go, how the hell are Queenscliff, you know, in Division 1 of the 15s and the 17s? But, you know, those kids stick around, come through together. Whoever takes over from you is going to come into a pretty plum job.
Yeah, and look, we've had a couple of the under-17s train with us over the break who are going to be their club kids, which is even better. So they're invested... they've got good relationships with the senior boys down there now. It's been terrific being able to do that. So at the moment, we're really struggling for our under-19. So anyone that wants to play footy, you'd be more than welcome down at the Cooter Bowl. We're just hell-bent on not letting that go. So we're doing a lot of work there. And again, with the 17. So it's just the odd years down there. We tend to run into trouble with the demographics of where we're at.
Yep.
So,
and then again, it changes next year, back to 18, 16, 14s.
Changes back next year, which will actually help us. So it's just making sure that we're up and about this year, doing what we can.
Yep. That development at Point Lonsdale is probably not hurting?
No, it's not too bad, but that's probably lower. Like we haven't seen any kids in the high levels, like your 19, 17s come through in that. Like we're seeing a little bit trickle through in the under 15s.
Yep.
And potentially... a little bit lower, but a lot of those guys like Tommy, Nathan Pettigrove, all those blokes are all having kids now. You know, Blakey Lim, Paddy Callahan. So hopefully we've got to wait a few years before all that comes through. But
there's some good Queenscliff names among all that.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's going to look good when they've got those kids, and if those Lim kids have got any ability like their fathers, they're going to be pretty handy footballers.
Yeah, so should be right.
Queenscliff should be pretty handy. Hey, Otis, 164 games, as I said. Matthew Sproul, the record holder in the Ballerine at 178. So barring anything unforeseen happening, touch wood, round 15, you'll break the record, which will be absolutely fantastic in the Ballerine footies 50th season as well, which, when did your old man join Queenscliff?
Oh, geez, mate, I should know, but I don't. Would be before 1970.
Yep. So basically the Clark Association with the Ballerine runs all the way through bar your little bit of a stint in the GFL.
Yeah, so it would be before 1970 because that's obviously when I come back. He was originally Ballarat before that. So, yeah, and he come through. So I'm not sure exactly what the year was that he would have come down here. Probably, I don't know.
Played a couple of those pole with flags in the late 60s. Yeah.
So, and then coached the 12 o'clock side for a long time. So, yeah, been around a bit. I got to play with him, actually, so that was good.
Mid-80s?
Would be mid-80s, yeah.
A bit more hair back then?
A lot more hair back then.
There was a great photo that you gave me of you coming off the ground at Port Arlington. Back in, I said, you sure that's you?
Yeah, that would have been 86, I reckon, that one.
When you guys were still rocking, I think what you had the blue shorts with the with the jumper and the white socks with the blue and red band.
The Great Western Hotel was a major sponsor.
Different era.
So different era, completely different. We used to pick the teams or read the teams out down at the Ozone on a Thursday night, so they'd be all sitting there having a few beers waiting for the the teams to come out.
And then they'd go and get stuck in the fish and chip shop window?
Into the pizza shop.
Pizza shop.
And then I had to go to school the next day. So, there you go.
Otis, it's always great to talk footy with you. We've been doing it for a heck of a long time, as I said, but I really appreciate you giving us some of your time to come in before season 2021. Maybe a good one for the Cooters, and look forward to talking to you throughout the year.
Yeah, thanks for that, Kingy. It's certainly great to be back, no doubt about that.
Steve Clark joining us from Queenscliff. This has been another edition of the Coach's Catch-Up.
Thanks for listening to this edition of K-Rock Football's Coach's Catch-Up. For other editions and the latest local news, head to krockfootball.com.au.